Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, and concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893 is the number to call. You can also email or text us at prayer@yeshome.com. That's prayer@yeshome.com. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Whatever your need is today, whether it's big or small, whether it's something you may think, oh, this is too trivial. No, it's not. Or you may, and certainly don't think it's too big for God to handle. So what if it's on your mind and if it's concerning you, we want to pray for you. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information. So don't be afraid of that. We just want to lift up that need in prayer, join together with you. So God knows who you are. That's what matters. So don't let that hinder you from getting prayer. We'll always keep it anonymous. Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for one another, to encourage each other, to help one another. Lord, we pray that you will move in the lives of our listeners today as you work in them and through them. Lord, help them to encourage them, to strengthen them with whatever issue or need that they have today. Lord, you would prove yourself faithful. You would prove yourself powerful. You would work in their behalf. And Lord, that you would do great and mighty things for them so that they might experience you in all your fullness and all your glory and all your good and gracious God, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. We celebrate you this day. And we praise you for what you are going to do in the lives of your people. And we pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayer requests, we always like to get into the Word of God to kind of help us get focused in and ready for prayer. Just going to kind of do a little Christmas thing today. We haven't done a lot of Christmas this week. Next week, we'll kind of be more focused on Christmas, and we'll work our way through the Christmas story and make that our focus for Prayer Closet. But this week, we've been kind of just a little potpourri. But I did want to get one passage, kind of start easing us into the thoughts of Christmas. And when we're doing the morning show, Jeff and I here in the studio, we have a TV here in the studio, and we turn it on, and we have the sound down during the morning show, but we turn on the local news, so we have, we can get traffic updates, see if any weird traffic things are happening that we might not get on the computer, and then, any breaking news, so in case anything's happening, especially locally or something that we need to know about, breaking news, that we can keep track of that. And so it's on, but we have the sound down, but after the show's over, getting ready to do the prayer closet, the news ends and another show comes on. I don't even know what channel Jeff has it on normally, but this show comes on called Paternity Court, and it's as sad and sorry as you would think it is. Now we never watch it, obviously, because once the show's over, we eventually turn the TV off, but enough to see it. And it's usually on for a minute or two, while we're finishing up our stuff here and I'm getting ready for the prayer closet. And then Jeff turns off the TV and goes, but usually you can see the setup, and again, sounds down, but they always have these little things telling you about, the plaintiff and the defendant, and it's always, it's paternity court. It's about who's the father of this child, and I'm sure the show is as sad and depressing as you would imagine it would be. And a woman's like, trying to determine which of her two husbands is the father of her child. How she has two husbands, I don't know. These are clearly people who have not made good life choices. Let's put it. But at the heart of this, and the fact that you can do a whole show over this is really kind of sad. But the heart of it is about who identifying who their father is. Who's the father? Sometimes, I would imagine, I guess, sometimes guys are claiming to be a father. Sometimes women are claiming they're the father. I don't know. Like I said, we don't really watch it. We just turn it off, but it's on. But it's this whole idea of who's the father. When it comes to our relationship with God, however, we never have to worry about that. And in fact, one of the reasons for Christmas, one of the reasons for the coming of Jesus, is to establish who our Father is once and for all. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says this, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir." We talk about Jesus coming to die for our sins, coming to be our sacrifice, to atoning sacrifice, to die in our place. And certainly all of that is true and necessary, that Jesus had to come to pay the penalty for our sins. And he comes to teach us and tell us about the kingdom of God and all that he does. But as the writer of Galatians, as Paul, writing in here in Galatians, tells us, he also comes to remind us who our true Father is. God sends his Son to redeem those under law, that we also might become full sons and daughters, fellow heirs with Christ, children of God. And because you are sons and you are daughters, God sends the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who cries out, Abba, Father. And Abba literally means, is an Aramaic term for father, but it's a very endearing term. It's like saying daddy, daddy, father. And that's what God has done for us. He comes, Jesus comes, and he comes as God sends his Son. And there's no denying that Jesus is the Son of God. Clear paternal lineage there. He comes and sends his Son so that we also might be children of God. That his Spirit would be us so we can cry out to God, not just Master, not just Lord, not even Savior, but we can cry out, Abba, Father. That our relationship to God is not just a relationship of God to his acolytes, his servants, his worshipers, his followers, his disciples, but it's a relationship of us to God as his children. And he is not just to us God, but Father. And if you think about that, it's a much more direct and intimate relationship. It's a much more personal relationship. We have a personal God who desires to be with us. We're part of his family. He desires to be with us. He's called us into his home where we're a part of what's happening. He's not just this powerful being. He's our Father. And you think about that. You think about recently, you know, George H.W. Bush passed away, president. And they talked a lot at his funeral about how he was a family man. And his children and grandchildren got up and talked to him and talked about him. And one of his grandsons got up and talked about how they were fishing on a boat and just a great adventure that they had with him. And this guy was president of the United States, vice president for 8 years, president for 4 years. I mean, one of the most powerful figures in the world. President of the United States, you wield a lot of power. A lot of people are deferential to you. They relate to you as someone with a power and authority. You're Mr. President, Mr. President. But to these guys, he was just Gampy, which is not the best word for your grandpa, well, personally. Gampy. Sounds like Gimpy. But whatever, that's what they called him. Yeah, they related to him very differently. If your father, if your dad were the president of the United States, everybody else would be Mr. President, but you would be dad, right? You're not going to, it's just different. He's your father. You have a different kind of relationship with him. And you're going to relate to him very differently than everybody else who's relating to him on the basis of his power and his authority and his position and his office. You're relating to him as father. And that looks very, very different. It's just not the same. And how he relates to you would be very, very different. And how he's relating to a senator or a congressman or another head of state, you know, it's not the same kind of relationship that he's going to have. And that's what has happened here, that we're no longer just relating to God as God, right, in his position and his power and his authority, but rather he's called us into his family to say, no, yes, he's still God. I mean, if your dad's the president of the United States, he's still the president of the United States. He still has power. He still has authority. And obviously still deserves our respect because he's our father. If your dad were the president, would you respect him because he's the president? Respect him because he's dad. You know, the Bible tells us we're to honor our father and our mother, regardless of what their position is. It's not rooted in their position or authority or anything else. It's rooted simply in the fact that they're a father and our mother. They're a parent. And likewise, we respect and honor God, not just because he's God, because he has power and authority and majesty, and certainly he has all these things. And we want to pay deference to all those things, but also because he's our father. And it just completely changes the relationship we have with God. When he declares, you know, when he says here, that he redeemed those under law that we might receive the full rights of sons. He's dramatically altering the kind of relationship that we have with him. It's very different. It's not the same. Because we're no longer relating to him just as God. Now we're relating to him as Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. In the Muslim religion, in Islam, they don't have that kind of relationship with God. Their understanding of God is he's holy other. He's so far above humans that he would never relate with them. When they go to paradise, they don't go to be with Allah. Paradise is a place Allah creates for them, but he's not there. Because Allah would never, you know, lower himself to deal with us. He's not a personal God in that sense. There's no relationship with Allah. Allah's holy other. He's too far above us. Allah is to be served, but he's not to be known. But God says, no, I'm not just to be served. I'm not just your master, as it says here. So you are no longer a slave. You no longer serve as a slave, as he's our master. We do what he tells us, but rather as a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. So that we no longer serve God just out of, because he's God and he can crush us if we don't. But rather we serve him because we're his children and we love him and he loves us. And he still has authority over us as any father would. And we still have to respect him and honor him and do what he's told. But our way we relate to him is not based necessarily on that power, but on who he is as our father. When Jesus comes, he doesn't just open up the door for us to go to God. He radically alters our relationship with God. So that we now come as sons, not as followers, acolytes, disciples, but as children, sons and daughters of God, children of God, to our Father who loves us. Think about that today. Meditate upon that today. That God is your Father who loves you and gave his Son so that you could be his child as well. It's just one of the many gifts of Christmas. We'll come back with your prayer request, 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. It is the prayer closet, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. And have a couple of requests in, so let's jump into our prayer requests. First one, a listener writes in, says, could you please pray that God keeps my blinders in place and that I give grace to those who persecute me? I'm so blessed, but I'm so quick to slap back. That's not how his kids are supposed to act. All right, we'll definitely pray for that. Lord, we do pray for this listener. Is their Lord trying to keep their focus on you, keep being distracted from the world, and keep their heart rooted in your grace, Lord, that they might be gracious to others around them. So, Lord, we do pray for them. We pray that you help them to keep that focus upon you, help them not to be distracted by these things of the world. Pray for them to have a heart filled with grace. And then, Lord, they would respond graciously to those who persecute them, not in anger, but in the love of Christ, doing good to those who persecute them, good to those who would speak against them. And Lord, that you would, by the power of your grace at work and by the power of your Spirit in them, that your Spirit would just awaken that godly grace that's there and enable and empower them to act with that gracious Spirit, Lord, that they might truly reflect you. We pray this in your name. Amen. This is another listener wrote in. This is actually someone who's been writing in. I think it's the same person. Anyway, they've had written in about a job interview. It says, my previous interviews did not work out. As I found out on Monday, I was not chosen. Thankfully, I received a call yesterday afternoon for another place. I applied and have another interview opportunity this morning. Hoping all goes well, and this will be the answer to my prayer and the place God wants me to be. Lord, we do pray for this person. We know they've been looking for a while here for work. And Lord, we know you have a position for them. You have a place set out for them. So Lord, we pray that one, you would grant them that confidence to know that you have a place that you are going to provide for them. You will open up a job for them. And so, Lord, first that they would walk in that confidence and that trust, knowing that you'll provide for their financial needs. In the meantime, you'll provide for them materially, and you will provide a job. And Lord, we pray for this opportunity that they have this morning. Lord, if this is indeed the place you want them to be, Lord, that you would grant them favor, this interview would go well. And Lord, I pray that they would walk out of that interview just knowing with certainty whether this is the place you have for them or not, and then walking in that confidence and that surety. Lord, indeed, if it is a place that you grant them favor before them and open up this opportunity to them. And Lord, if it doesn't work out, they would also know that this was not your place for them, that there would be no discouragement from that, no fear from that, but they would walk in, again in confidence knowing this wasn't the right place. This wasn't your spot for them and that you have a better place in mind. So Lord, however this plays out, we pray that they would walk knowing full well that your will is being done. And that you will place them in the place they need to be. And Lord, I pray that they would have that confidence. As they go to this interview, as they go before these people, that they would not go with fear, worry, or nervousness, but they would just have that quiet confidence and surety knowing that you are leading them. Grant them favor, Lord. Be with them this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen. If you have a prayer request for us, you can call our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. There's always somebody here who'd be happy to pray with you at 419-389-0893. You can email or text your prayer request to us at prayer@yeshome.com. And remember, you can always get connected to an online spiritual coach for an online chat session, live chat, at our website, yeshome.com. Just click the chat now button. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God bless everybody. Have a fantastic day. We'll see you Monday on the Prayer Closet.